Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Leanne, for allowing us to be a part of your show.
We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. You guys had your regular monthly meeting of the fiscal court earlier this week. And just getting into the agenda, you guys had a lot of some visitors. The old jail property, someone came and talked about. This is the old jail,
not the old jail.
Now we actually have two former jails and a brand new jail. But
yes.
To get started, we're going to go back to the oldest of those properties, which is located behind the Arts Center, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And what's the update on that? I know the Arts Center people have been doing some renovations over there.
Historical Society has taken on the project of renovating the old jail, which is the old stone WPA. And I guess it was originally designed to be the school board's building back in those days. And so they've taken, it's next to the old school board building. This was originally designed as a jail. Anyway, they took the project on to renovate the building. Because, you know, at one time it was scheduled that they wanted to tear it down to expand some things. It's now on the historical register. So the Historical Society has been renovating it. Mm-hmm. They just came in yesterday and updated us, and they've made some good progress, and they've got a lot of progress yet to go. But they see an end in sight, and they're very excited about it. And that was Jeff and Gary Lewis came in and briefed us. And, of course, they've been a big part of the Historical Society for some time. And it's always good to see that the community is really involved and doing things that help the entire community. So
like the Arts Center, which has some artist studios, the jail once remodeled and able to be occupied, will have some of that kind of space for the quote unquote dirty arts, like
they will.
Like clay throwing and things like that.
Yes, and that's what's exciting to the Arts Center is mm-hmm. because they're right on co-located with that property, and they'll be able to utilize part of that old jail as part of the Arts Center. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that whole block kind of is excited about it. And, of course, we got the Veterans Museum there in the same place and the wall, so it'll create a little more traffic, and everybody's proud of that block. So
absolutely.
It looks good.
I know there's a lot of community support for it. And speaking of community support, how many people came in with the Rails to Trails program? I know that they went to the city council meeting and had quite a few, but where fiscal court is at the beginning of the day, I didn't know if they were going to be able to have that many people come in.
We had a full house yesterday, not necessarily from the trails, but we did have a full house yesterday. In fact, I seen a couple of people standing up in the background. You know, I don't know. They had some representation there from the trails and some other business we were going to conduct. And so they Scott Davison did a real good presentation for the trails program. And it would really be nice, you know, it's just like anything else, if we can afford it, it would be one of those very nice things. I think it would attract some tourism, benefit downtown, foot traffic, you know, moms with strollers and some other things. So I think it would be a good deal if, you know, if we can figure out a way to fund it.
Mm-hmm. Well, as someone who lives in downtown Morehead, it's something that I'd love to see happen. For me, it's difficult to get from where I live to where I want to be on Main Street and walking. It's not far, but it's still kind of hard to get there.
Yes.
So it's always great to see more trail progression. You know, we are a trail town, so it's nice to see a little things happen like that, and hopefully that will be something everyone can support moving forward. But you guys didn't make any decisions on that.
No, he did the presentation, and of course we're working on our budget now. Mm-hmm. And we'll hopefully have it ready for the budget ready for the first reading in April. But he just came in to brief us and put his hat in the ring for you know, some funds if we have some. Mm-hmm. And so we hope you know, we may be able to help him out. We just got to get the numbers together and see where we're at.
Now, speaking of budgeting, you're working on that already.
Yes.
Because you have to put a plan together to present to the court?
I do. We have to have a budget in place by 1 July, which means that kind of backs you up a couple months because we have to have a first reading and a second reading. So really, it puts you into the April time frame to get the first reading, a second reading in May. The first reading, after the first reading, it goes to the Department of Local Governments, and they actually approve the budget. Then it comes back and it goes to the fiscal court. But once it's presented to the fiscal court in April, then it actually becomes fiscal court's budget. And up to that point, it's essentially the judge execs. So then we present it on the in April, and then we'll tweak it and work with it, and I'll work with the magistrates. Of course, they've had inputs all along, and they will have inputs all along on this. So hopefully when we get to first reading, nobody will be surprised, and we'll be ready to go with it, and it'll just be sign off and move on, and then we'll have to have it in place by 1 July.
And then speaking of budgets, you guys also, in the new business section of your meeting, had the presentation of the jailer budget for the 19-20 fiscal year.
Yes, we did.
Is it the calendar year?
It's fiscal year.
Okay, it is fiscal year. So tell me a little bit about that. Are there changes from last year? What's the big news on that?
Well, actually, the jail budget, you know, we've always worried about the jail budget being so large. It actually increased this year by about $70,000, which put it at about $4.8 million for the jail. Now, that includes the bond payment and you know, the utilities and all of that stuff. And we've all seen utility increases. So, you know, that naturally has went up. But it's, you know, it's a pretty significant piece of our budget. It's the largest single item in the budget. So it's difficult to spread money around when, you know, we have such few resources anyways. And it's about a $13.3 million budget. That's just a rough guess on my part now. So you see we're taking nearly $5 million out of it for the jail. So it's just a pretty tough thing.
Well, I know that, I mean, it was anticipated that the jail would cost more. And I'm wondering if the number of prisoners in there, I know it kind of affects the budget. And the last time I spoke with the jailer, Wes Coldiron, they were pretty full up. Is that still the case?
Well, we in fiscal court, you know, we have a difference in opinion on that. And, of course, we're not the jailer. We don't have to deal with it on a daily basis. But we know that if you can increase the prisoner count, and the jails in our surrounding counties that have jails are considered overcrowded, but they are certainly at capacity. Mm-hmm. And we think as fiscal court that we would be better served if we put more inmates in, which would increase your bottom line revenue and hopefully bring that back down on the budget of what the county actually has to put into it.
Right. How many do you know how many, like, the ratio of people that we have, that we're responsible for housing versus how many people are from other outside counties and things?
I do. We've got approximately, and that fluctuates daily, about 60 inmates, that's Round County inmates, that we are responsible for, that we, you know, they're our cost. Mm-hmm. And then we have about 150 state inmates, and then we have the remainder of other counties, Morgan County, Elliott County, just any county around that doesn't have a jail. We have a contract with them, and they have the remaining number of inmates in jail. For a total of about, right now, we've got about 265 mm-hmm. is normally what the number is.
Right. It seems like it hovers right around there.
Yep.
And which is a big increase from what we were housing in the old facility.
Yes.
So a lot of people to think about, not just the prisoners themselves, but the people who work there and of course, the county taxpayers who foot the bill.
It is, and it's a balancing act. So somewhere in there, and it's a new jail, mm-hmm. you know, and it's new to us. It's got a lot of new whistles and bells, if you will. And so we're just going to have to figure out how to work with it and find out what's the best mix and best ratio that's safe for the prisoners, safe for the guards, and doesn't break the bank in the county.
Right. Now, you guys also talked a little bit about the strategic comprehensive plan for the county and for the city of Moorhead. I know you guys have been working together
Yes.
on that. Tell me where we are on that plan.
The city had originally last year had budgeted in their budget a $75,000 cost for this plan. The county had not done so. They wanted to wait and see what the cost was really going to be before they actually budgeted for it. So yesterday we had we've went out and we've got the proposals, and they came back in, and we had those ranked. We had a panel of three, that ranked those in order. We actually had 7 proposals, and they ranked them in order for us. They had a very strict guideline on how to score the proposals, and it came back at about $148,000 and some change. So we elected yesterday as the Round County Fiscal Court is to fund our half of that with the city. And, of course, we know that this is a very important plan. You know, you can't figure out how to get where you want to be in 10 years if you have no idea of a course to take. So this was really a huge step in the right direction. The last one we had was 1998, I believe.
Wow.
And so this should be exciting for everybody. We'll get to see where we think we're going to be in the future, you know, growth wise. And it's just a huge benefit to everybody.
And there are a lot of things that are being talked about with new industry coming in and a lot of growth across the county, not just in the city, but outside the city as well. And it's exciting to think about where we'll be in 5. So much has changed in the last 5 years. I can't imagine what's going to change in the next 5 years.
Yes, and that's what's so important, to have that, hopefully, that snapshot of where we'll be and what we need to do to get where we want to be in the next 5, 10, 15 years.
Right.
So it's just a really a big benefit. And, you know, the cooperage, you're talking about 801, you know, we actually yesterday, that wasn't in the agenda, wasn't on the agenda. It came to me late Monday night, actually, and it was to allow access to the county roads for the cooperage to build out in that area. So it's you know, it's getting exciting. We're getting close now. When they're asking for to access the county road to put your entry and exit points in, it's you feel like you're making progress.
Now, also, you guys talked about a community block grant for that industry, correct?
We did for the STAVE. It's a $1 million block grant. Essentially, it's a loan from the state, and then they will pay that block grant back to the state. And then our Industrial Development Authority will get us a portion of that loan back as it's paid back. I really don't know the numbers on that. I'm going to guess somewhere to $80,000 to $100,000 that will go back into the Industrial Development Authority. And that will allow them to either purchase property or operate more and encourage more growth in the county. So it's a good deal for the manufacturer. It's not just for the STAVE. It could be for any industry, and it's to buy industrial equipment with.
Right. Now, also talking about any industry, we had reported several months ago that a group, App Harvest, was going to be moving to Moorhead. They were on 60 Minutes Sunday night and talking about being in Pikeville, which is not the case. But do you know anything about that, where we're at with that group?
Well, you know, it was on the front page of the news here not too long ago, probably a few months back. I will say that, you know, they're very interested in this location. It's not been finalized yet by any means. They are looking at this area, and we're certainly hoping that they will choose Round County and to be their home.
And we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, this is Chaz Jenkins. I'm a junior studying convergent media and film at Moorhead State University. As a student work study at Moorhead State Public Radio, I enjoy being given the opportunity to produce and host my own podcast. Working at this station has provided me with countless opportunities and skills that will help me with my future endeavors. It has also given me many amazing friendships and awesome memories. Please help support Moorhead State Public Radio during our spring fundraiser and membership drive. Use the secure online pledge form at wmky.org. Thanks so much for your support.
And we're back here on Open Mic. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and I'm here with Judge Executive Harry Clark here in Round County. Thanks for so much for being on the show.
Thanks.
Okay, now you guys, one of the other things that you talked about under new business, the Laughlin Building. We've been talking about the Laughlin Health Building on Moorhead State University's campus for several months now, trying to figure out how to, you know, the university isn't utilizing the property. It's a very large building, and they've talked about leasing it to the community for recreational purposes. And it was on the table. It was off the table. We talked about it. Nobody wanted to do it. Here we are. It's almost the end of the fiscal year, and we're still talking about Laughlin. So where are we with that?
Well, it's kind of equated to launching a nuclear missile. Actually, it's probably been simpler to do that than it was to work on this Laughlin project. We've actually have come a long way on that. You know, as the city and the county, we've worked very closely on this, and we want to provide it for community recreation. So we have made a memorandum of agreement, which was approved in fiscal court yesterday between the county and the city, of how we will operate the funding portion of that. And it was just really a two-pager. Pretty much we're going to pay half of the cost along with the city. We're going to provide it to the community for recreation through the Parks and Recreation Department of the city. And we're going to see how it goes. And we're really excited about it. And we hope it grows into to bigger things. You know, it could be a part of tourism in the future, bring some tournaments in. But we want to get our feet on the table first and see how things go. But we're excited about it. It's hard to keep that excitement going for a year, but but we're still with it. You know, we're doing well. We're getting really close, and we hope to take possession of it in May. But you know, there's still contracts to be signed, so we're just close. We haven't sealed the deal yet.
There's a lot of that happening right now.
Yes,
everything's all the plates are spinning.
Yes.
I guess to use that adage. I feel like, and you probably feel like that all the time. You always have stuff happening and keeping everything moving all at once. That has to be really difficult, especially when it's so delicate. Because
yes.
Anything could go wrong at any moment.
Yes. And then you really got to watch what you say, because you know you can't remember whether they told you not to say nothing or whether they told you you could say something. So you got to kind of juggle that around. And my ops manager, Jason Sloan, he says, you know, you got to be able to track six targets at a time. So And you do.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that wasn't on the agenda, but you definitely wanted to talk about, and we should as a community, we recently had a statewide tornado drill. And some information came out of that. We had tornadoes hit last week in western Kentucky.
Yes.
There's some devastating ones down south. We've been seeing a lot of weather-related issues. So what did the county have to talk about with the tornado drill?
Well, we were very unhappy with the results of the drill. You know, we have these drills, and then I think maybe you never follow up on them. You say, well, that didn't work too well, and you talk about it for a brief period of time, and like you said, then you're juggling so many things that kind of goes to the back burner. But this time, we have a new emergency management director, Jimmy Hampton. Ronnie Day was with us for a number of years. Great guy, really qualified to do the job. He elected to retire on us.
Mm.
So we had to find another individual. I did some interviews. We selected Jimmy Hampton, really experienced, qualified search, rescue, all-around EMT, has all the qualifications. So we took him on board as the emergency management director. So after the drill, and I'm standing there with a cell phone that I thought I had signed up on this service with, and I did not get an alert. So I've asked him to look into it, and he did, and you have the numbers there before you. But realistically, it's just unacceptable if you're going to have a tornado and, you know, you can only reach essentially 18% of the population in this county to warn them, and it may take you up to 15 minutes to do it. It's not acceptable.
When it comes to a tornado, you don't have that kind of time.
No. So it was unacceptable to us, to myself, and it was unacceptable to fiscal court. So when we asked him to look into it, Jimmy stepped up and he did a really good job. You've got about a three-page report there.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, we are going to probably switch companies that provide that service to us, and we hope we'll be able to do better. And when we get switched over to this new program, they have a part of that program is called IPAWS.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the simple guy, what it means is whether you give me permission or not, if you're going to have a tornado, I can push that to your cell phone and to your home phone. I can give you that alert, and it'll override any other communication coming in. If the cell tower is crowded, it'll still override. It takes priority. So that'll be a huge, and it's automatic from the National Weather Service. So you don't have to have a dispatcher typing that message in and then dispatching it out over the system. So it'll save a tremendous amount of time. It's a lot. It's just going to be a lot more efficient than what we've had in the past.
And IPAWS stands for Integrated Public Alert and Warning System, and it's a federal program.
Yes,
so
it is.
It's even more efficient. They've kind of having the emergency alert system. We kind of had to reinvent the wheel, and obviously from this report, I mean. almost 14,000 phone numbers are selected in the system, but there's a lot more people in Rowan County.
Yes.
Especially when school's in session at NSU.
Yes.
That's an additional 10,000 just being here.
Well, Leanne, you made me nervous when you said federal government and efficiency in the same sentence. That kind of makes me nervous when you say that.
Wait a minute. Didn't you serve in the military?
I did. I served 22 years. That's why I think I can sit here and say that comfortably. But yes, it is a federal program, and we do have to file an application process to justify it. But Mr. Hampton is working diligently on that, I would assume, while we're sitting up here. So we will get that done, and we're going to pick a new service. And it's really a unique service. It's a two-way communication. So if we have a disaster, we'll be able to send Leanne a text. Mm-hmm. And in this text, we'll ask you, do you have power? Do you need help? You know, whatever information we want. And then you'll be able to respond to that. And that gives us a real quick snapshot of the situation we have in the county, overall county,
right.
Which is really something we've never had before. Didn't even know it existed before. So we're going to be pleased with this, I think. And we'll have another drill. We won't wait until the state has one. We'll probably organize another drill to see where we're at after we implement this program.
Mm-hmm. And when do you think this program implementation will happen?
Well, we went ahead and selected another company, and I have directed our emergency management team to switch over effective 1 May.
Right. All right. Well, you guys also talked a little bit about the we only have a couple minutes left, but I wanted to touch base with the energy conservation grants over the airport board.
Yes.
What is happening with them?
Well, they occasionally they'll come out with the grant money for energy conservation, and the airport board stepped up and applied for those grant monies. I think one of them's $80,000, one's $100,000, and we don't know that we've ever applied for those before. And we don't know how successful we'll be at it, or the airport doesn't know. Mm-hmm. So we passed the resolutions to allow them to apply for that because we are the governing entity. And we hope they'll be approved. And if it does, it'll help with the upgrading and the lights on the runway and also the administrative building lighting, which hopefully will save us money in the long run. And so we're going to give it a try. You know, every piece of grant money that's out there, the folks are going after it, and mm-hmm. that's great.
Yeah, it's good to have diligent people and the opportunity to go after the monies that are available. You hate to leave it on the table when you know it's there.
Yes, you do. Just want to again say thanks, Leanne, for allowing us to be, you know, this is a good platform for us to be able to speak to the county, and we really appreciate your efforts in that, and I'm sure the mayor does as well. And the mayor and I have been working very closely on a lot of these projects, and it seems to be going very well.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear things are going well, and we love to have you guys on the show and visit with us and let us know what's happening in the county, because for those of us who don't work in county government or city government, sometimes it's a little hard to understand. So I appreciate you taking the time to explain it to
us. Thank you.
And that's all the time we have today here on Open Mic. We'll see you again next Friday.